Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana Podcast. I am Jim Reamer, joined by a couple of the usual suspects, Kyler Staley, Dominic Neely. Kyler was absent on the 1A and 2A previews. What's your excuse, young man?
Just Indiana basketball ramping up and, you know, managing a website and all that. So nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy. Yeah, I get it. Has IU set a screen yet?
Not that I've counted. No,
a non-ball screen.
Yeah, I haven't seen any on-ball screens or anything like that happen. So
okay, all right, cool.
We'll see next game maybe.
Dominique, kids were down early tonight.
They were down early. Yep.
Nice. We are recording this Monday evening. What is it? The 13th, November 13th. The 1A preview published this morning. 2A is going out tomorrow, which will be Tuesday. This will be Wednesday when you are listening or when you get a chance to listen to this. Our 4A will be recorded later tonight and published on Thursday. Joining us again from Southeast Indiana, parts unknown, somewhere near Madison, Patrick Woolley. Patrick,
yep.
Thanks for coming back, man.
I had no problem. I enjoyed it.
Your contributions have been excellent, considering
minimal at best, but thank you.
No, it's part of the state that, hey, like I said, we've been trying to find someone to cover Southern Indiana since we started. Every time we get somebody going, it seems to drop off. But
no, it's a fun time. Get on here for a couple hours and talk hoops.
Yeah, there we go. Right now, we're doing a 3A preview. Kyler, what we did last time was we just go down a list, and then if somebody has them a little higher up the list, we maybe kind of wait till then to get into depth, especially if it's a huge gap. But by the end of it, I think we'll end up being here about an hour and 15 for this, and then crank out 4A later tonight as well. So, Kyler, why don't you start with your 10th team, and we'll start there and go around the room.
All right, well, I might be starting with a little bit of a wild card in 3A, but I'm going to go with South Bend St. Joe's.
Oh, same city, yeah, different team.
I'm going to go with them. I know they only finished 12-15, but they almost knocked off South Bend Washington in sectional 19 last year. I think they returned a pretty good core. Obviously, the leader right there is Chase Konecki, 2025 wing guard, whatever he is, and then they added Nick Shrewsbury, which is Micah Shrewsbury's son. So that's a pretty good addition. I've heard good things about him. And then 2026 guard Braylon White should take a leap this year for them, hopefully provide a little bit more production for them and everything. But I kind of like the makeup that they have this year. I think this is the year that they finally kind of put it together and try to make a run.
Yeah, I had them honorable mention.
I had them higher.
You had them higher? Okay. Where'd you have them?
Eight.
Okay. We get there.
Nine here.
So everybody had them but me. Jeez. I guess I'll just my 10th is South Bend, Washington. And I had eight pretty easily. 9 and 10 was a struggle, not in that there wasn't quality, but in that there were a lot of options. And I think that's going to be reflected. I mean, 4A is going to be even a deeper list, but that's going to be reflected in the honorable mention teams that we kind of throw out there at the very end. So with this, it was just basically Steven Reynolds tipping the scale and going with the best player. They seem to think they've got good pieces around him. He's a pretty phenomenal talent, and he's maybe not quite Jalen Harrelson. But you know, that's also, you know, might be the difference between, you know, I mean, Jalen competing at a four, you know, on a mostly, it's certainly at a 4A sectional level, but you know, I think Steven's got a chance to turn the tide. And again, anytime you get the best player on the court in a game, you got a chance to win that game. Patrick, who was your 10th?
I'm going to stay in the area down here. I'm going to go with Greensburg. Greensburg's always solid. They graduated the Kai Dyer kid, but they've got 6-foot senior Addison Barnes Pettit coming back. I believe he's got a Ohio, what is it, Ohio Wesleyan offer. They got junior Jack McKenzie coming back, a couple other juniors in the rotation. And Greensburg is just always solid, man. Even with the new coach last year, they're always competitive, always good. Their record's going to be nice. So new I'm kid. Going with the Pirates at number 10.
New coaches this year.
Yep.
Oh, and gosh, that's right.
He'll bring his son with him. So Coach Busick's son, very good outside shooter. Definitely a bump in competition to what they had at Covington and Traders Point. Mm-hmm. Although I think he was just a freshman at Covington, and then he left and took the Traders Point job, and now he's at Greensburg. And you know, Sean will do a really good job. Sean has had a really good history of, not that Greensburg needs this, but Sean's done a really good job of taking programs that were all not maybe on the downside, but definitely sub 500, and just making them consistent winners. And he was able to bust through, win a sectional or a couple of sectionals at Zionsville. But that was when it was not in the Carmel sectional. So it didn't get over the hump in that sectional. But then Coach Howell's having that issue too. Just as difficult as that sectional is of getting through that mess. So, but Greensburg.
Yeah, you know, look,
he does have a lot of guys
they
coming
came,
back.
They came within a last, you know, 10 or 15 second shot of winning the regional against Scottsburg. They're returning most of their scoring back. Sounds like they got the coach's kid coming in. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the middle of things. They're going to be right there.
Dominic, who's your 10th?
I had Bishop Knoll at number 10. Okay. I like Jaden Reyna. Coming back as a senior, mm-hmm. he can really fill it up. He shot 43% from three last year. They also bring back a couple other guys, a couple other double-figure scorers. Caleb Parks, I believe his name is. Let me make sure I got that right. Let's make sure. Let's see. Yeah, Caleb Parks, he's good. He's averaged 13 a game last year. He's super athletic. Slasher, can get to the rim. Angel Alvarez is back for him as well, another guard who averaged 11 a game. They got the transfer from Hammond Central, a 6'5 big who played for Hammond Central last year, Amari Moore. Then I heard, I don't know any much details, but apparently they got a guy who's going to be an impact player for him from Chicago, another guard that's going to be playing for him as well. So I like Hammond. I like some of the teams they scheduled this year. You know, that obviously the usuals with Munster and, you know, Valpo's a 4A school, East Chicago Central, Gary Westside. Then they add in Cathedral as well, Indianapolis Cathedral. So, I don't know. I like Camino. I think they have a chance to get out of their sectional as well. So, I'm rolling with them at 10.
Good for you. Nowhere on my radar. I mean, that's not that big of a deal. It's just a blind spot for me.
And I like the inside info.
Well, yeah, and I thought that they definitely lost some kids too. So, that
they lost one, the big kid, to Bosco, but so, their top so three.
But Garza was back. Last year then?
Garza was on Hammond Central last year.
Oh, that's right.
So their top three scores are back. Reyna, Caleb Parks, and Alvarez. They add in the kid from Hammond Central, and they add in a kid from Chicago. So they'll have a nice year.
Looks like they have bumped up their schedule a little bit. As you mentioned. So I'm the only one that has – am I the only one with South Bend, Washington in the top 10?
Yes, they're in my honorable mention.
They're in my watch list.
Honorable mention.
Okay. All
I think
right.
they're going to be really young. They lost like what, the six, seven seniors.
Yeah.
But I know they have a freshman coming in that's pretty good, and then a couple other kids potentially, but obviously, Reynolds.
Well, and yeah, Vargas, Coach Vargas, pretty excited about what he's got going on there. So,
yeah.
Kyler, who'd you have at nine?
Number nine, I've got Bishop Chatard. 16-10 last year, lost to Guerin Catholic in sectional 27, I think. Again, extremely tough sectional again, with Rebuff and Guerin both in there, but they'll be led by 2026 guard Ethan Roseman, who had 14.2 points last year, got a lot of varsity action, was often their go-to guy as a freshman last year. Thought he did pretty well. I've always been a big fan of him. And then guard Scott Simler and Cash Moore, they'll be good help as well. This is an overall very well coached team, I think, as well. So got them at number nine.
Patrick.
Yep. I got South Bend St. Joe's at number nine.
Okay.
I got the Indians. They've got returning a lot of underclassmen. Of course, everybody knows Kinesny. He's his junior. They also got seniors Jace Lee and junior Brashawn Woods coming back. They played a lot of underclassmen, had a pretty solid squad last year. I think they battled with Washington in that sectional. I think they could do some things this year and maybe make a run to semi-state.
The one thing's for sure, we all pronounce Chase's last name differently. We gotta. Yeah, that's like Cacalia, which is actually Cacalia. We need to get some insight on this. And
I think it's Kinesny, right?
Kinesny.
There's no. That, I don't think it's Kineski. I think it's Kines.
Right.
Yeah, that's
no. I mean, well, I'll be honest. We've going back to his brother JR. We've been saying Kineski, and you know what? A lot like Cacalia. No one ever corrected us. No one ever corrected me till I flat out asked him at the fall league, how do you pronounce your name? He goes, oh, Cacalia. Like that pronunciation was never on my radar. we've had Kineskis. I'm saying it the way I've been saying it. The last 7 years in the fall league, JR and now Chase, and God love his father. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Never corrected me. Then the other day I was watching Notre Dame game and they kept calling him Kinesi, and I was like, oh crap, we've been saying it wrong the whole time. I trust the TV guys more than I trust us. Definitely more than I trust me.
So what's the final answer? Kinesny?
Kines, yeah, I don't know. Who
Chase
I don't
K.
know.
TBD.
You'd think one of us would research it. And by that, I mean me, since it seems to be my damn show. So, anyway, Dominique, you got Leo in your top 10?
I don't. I have them in my honorable mention.
I mean, I know they were sub 500 last year, but they just returned everybody, right? I mean, Jackson
yeah,
McGee,
yeah.
Heidshaw brothers. Who am I missing there? I've got
Solomon
a nine.
Richards.
Solomon Richard. Are they going to have – is LaGrange?
That's the one I would say I'm not 100% sure on.
Not on the
I know
line.
The,
not on
I know the
roster.
Other four. I know the other four for sure. Heidshu Brothers, Jackson McGee, and Solomon Richard.
Yeah, not the other kid I named, not on the roster, evidently. So definitely had a question mark on him, but we've talked a little bit about the older Heidshu. We've all kind of liked him a little bit. The younger one is more talented. I'm asking.
I'll let you know after Thursday.
Okay. Well, that's a soft nine. Like I said, I had a good eight. And then the rest of it was could have thrown a dart. I mean, I had St. Joe's in my honorable mention, Greensburg in my honorable mention. Did not have Chatard in my honorable mention. did not have Hamlin Knowles. So we are all getting a little bit of a diverse list here, which is, of course, makes for good conversation. But let's see. Patrick, have you done your ninth yet? Yeah, you did. South Bend.
Yeah.
Who hasn't done their nine yet? Was that the last one?
I haven't.
Oh, yo, I'm sorry. Go.
At number nine, I got Danville.
Okay. I've got him seventh.
They return a lot off a team who had a good year trying to get to them. I believe they went to where? Was it the regional or semi-state?
You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. But I like Evan Lawrence. He's our leading scorer coming back. He's kind of attached to the paint, bigger dude. He looks like he plays some football, but he can score it in the paint. He averaged 13 a game last year. Caden Collins was a nice guard for him. I've talked about Jace Scrafton on here. Seen him play this summer. He's a junior now. He averaged about 10 a game last year as a sophomore. They didn't have a senior on the roster, so they're bringing everyone back. The biggest concern I had with Danville was shooting. They don't shoot the three very well, or they didn't last year at least. And watching some of their streams, that was some of the things that the guys were talking about as well, how they don't shoot it very well from three. But, you know, they had a good year. They bring everybody back. I think they're poised to have another good year this year.
Yeah, they got beat in the regional by Garen Catholic.
Okay.
I think we'll see a big jump in Scrafton. I've got them at seven. And I think that's going to be a kid that's, he was kind of new to them last year. And, you know, he's a kid that will, I thought he had a pretty good spring and summer. And you're right about Lawrence. He's a big kid, but he's also pretty skilled and a smart kid. And Collins has always been kind of a favorite. For a while, though, they kind of tabbed Collins. I think it was one of those things where they tabbed Collins as maybe like potential high jump champ. Or was it maybe even a long jump champ in the state? And I don't know how that's played out, but definitely a kid that was, you know, one of the best athletes to come through Danville in quite a while. And he's kind of a combo guard for them. We've got him as sort of a point guard from a list standpoint, but he plays he does a little bit of everything for them. But Scrafton's going to be the one that I think just see a little bit of a jump in his production. Kyler, who'd you have going number eight?
Number eight, maybe a little low on everybody else's list, but I've got the defending 3A state champs, Northwood, at number
eight.
Right where I got him. Okay. All right, so we're on the same page a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, they lose a lot of pieces with Cade Brenner, and the older Rash brother. What was his name again?
Ian.
And so, you know, I think there's a lot of questions. Obviously, they're going to lean on the 6'8 center, Tyler Rash, the younger Rash. You know, he's going to be their go-to guy a lot. So, and then Coach Wolfie's son, Ethan, probably see a major increase in his role this year as well. But, yeah, I mean, overall, they're obviously a well-coached team. We know that. So, they'll still be a player no matter what. But I just think right now just a lot of questions on, you know, how they're going to fill the voids of, you know, Brenner and Rash.
Aaron would say they win in spite of coaching.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. He would say that. But you're right. They are very well coached. And I've got them eighth as well. And I, for a lot of the same reasons, I think you're going to see some guys step up for them. You know, and it's going to be – Tyler's going to have to be more physical if he's going to be sort of an offensive go-to guy. It was easy for him to be a secondary touch guy for them. I've got him eighth because I believe that he'll figure it out. You know, I think that sometimes the light bulb kind of turns on a little bit when you become the guy. And he's got a chance to be really good and different player than his brother, completely different player than his brother. His brother probably a little bit more versatile. But Tyler's a difference maker with his length and size, and between that and Wolfie's son, both those kids, bring a lot of experience. They both were, you know, even, I mean, Ethan was definitely a varsity kid as a sophomore. Tyler got a little bit of taste of it as a freshman, but obviously a big jump last year, and their state championship experience, I think, will play a key role in their success this year. Patrick, who was your eighth, or did we?
We haven't got there yet. We're going to, well, I'm going to Princeton at number eight.
Okay.
Yep. I'm going with, they've got a senior, they've got a junior guard that's really good, Jace Jenkins. I believe he was their leading scorer last year. He's coming back. A couple of seniors, the McIntyre brothers, junior Chase Diehouse, another junior Christian Mowry. If anybody's going to challenge Heritage Hills and, you know, Sicily down there, it's going to be Princeton in that sectional. There's going to be some good battles between those two teams.
Kind of forgot one of their names.
Who's that?
Edwin Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
their second leading scorer.
I was just getting to him.
Okay.
Well, they were 13-10 last year. They didn't fare too well in the sectional, but I think they can come back this year and make a little noise.
Holmes is a 6'6 wing, who for them, I'm sure, has a lot of big man responsibilities, especially defensively.
Yeah, he looks like he's their biggest kid.
Yeah, he's definitely their tallest kid. And I think him and Jenkins, you'll see a definite, I mean, they were pretty balanced last year. But I think those two kids will be a little bit of a bump production wise. I mean, Edwin's really improved just from the time that I saw him first in the spring through the summer.
Oh, he's young. He's just a sophomore.
He is just a sophomore, and 6'6" and skilled, and puts the ball on the floor pretty well. I don't know what role he plays for them at the school, you know, for the school team. Not seen him there yet. But definitely we'll be seeing them play a couple times this year as well. Dominique, who was your eighth?
I had South Bend St. Joe at eight.
Okay.
We talked about Chase K. We talked about Shrewsbury.
We've just given up on it. We're giving up
on it. but I think Jace Lee and Rashawn Woods coming back is big for them. Two guys who averaged double figures last year. Two guys who can really defend, athletic. So I think they have enough four nice pieces there with Chase K, Shrewsbury, Jace Lee, Rashawn Woods. I know Coach Gaff is excited for his group this year. And I think they'll have a good year. I talked with a varsity coach in that area, and he thinks that St. Joe will be the best team in the NIC.
Really?
So we'll see. Yeah.
Have they been in the past? I'm pulling something up here as I look. They've not. It seems like when I've seen them play, they've not been great defensively, other than I'm not sure. I mean, they do play a little bit of a zone. I guess the times I've seen them play, and I'm trying to go back to look to see when I've seen them play.
Pretty sure they press a lot.
It just seems like the last 2 years they've not been great defensively, but I also know they've been pretty young. So,
right.
I'm trying to find a game. There was a game. Oh, it was the Homestead game 2 years when JR's senior year, where they kind of got thumped. Because they played, where did they play that game at? I don't. I was at that game and it wasn't competitive. And maybe that's just sticking to my mind.
Homestead was really good.
True, very good, very good. It may have been one of those. That may have been one of the shoes for Santa games at Brownsburg.
Sneakers, yeah.
Sneakers for Santa, yeah.
Would that have been? It wouldn't have been Goody and Lawyer, would it have been? Didn't they play? They play Carmel that year. Or?
Lawyer would have been. Yeah, Lawyer would have been a junior that year. Yeah, they did. I don't think they didn't play Carmel that.
No, I think when they played Carmel, I think Gloyer was a senior and Goody was a freshman in college, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Lawyer was impressive that game, by the way. On a side note, but anyway. My eighth was Northwood, so we've talked about them. My seventh was Danville. We've talked about them. Kyler, who was your seventh?
Got Heritage Hills at number seven.
Oh, you're low.
I know, but you know the Trent.
That's
Sisley
your. Isn't that your? That's your other cheese.
I know. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm going to change it up. Heritage Hills number one.
We're moving you off. We're moving you off the Sisley bandwagon. No more room.
No. I'm just stopping to get gas. We're good.
No more seats for Kyler.
It's all the people around Trent. That's the thing. So that's what holds me back a little bit. But
we're going to, Matt, if you're listening, it's Kyler Staley from Matt Bedford. He's from Bedford.
Matt knows me pretty well.
Give all your exclusive IU interviews to other people.
At Kyler KYL.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that, actually. Give all your exclusive interviews to Kyle. Kyler. Whatever the hell your name is.
Whatever. Anyway.
whatever your name is.
The reason I have Heritage Hills there is obviously Trent Sisley factor. You know, they're obviously going to be a top 10 team with him and 3A, I think. It just all comes down to the people around him. That's been the case for the past couple years. I think they finally got some dudes around them, especially sophomore wing Jake Pryor. Was impressed with him the couple times I saw him over the summer and everything. So, you know, got upset a little bit, I think, in sectional 31 by Washington last year. I think that's their sectional to win this year. You know, I think they're a sneaky team when it comes to 3A, and I think they can get a lot done this year.
Well, they're going to have the best player on the court in every 3A game they play, especially tournament time. So if nothing else, for that reason alone, again, they got a chance.
Maybe you have the best player on the court in every game they play this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, because I guess Harrelson's a Fishers now. They're no longer a Fishers. So.
I guess there's the argument. I think they play – is it Greenfield's? No, they play Garen Catholic at Southport, so never mind.
Jeez. Sorry, I just got a text message that somewhat mildly disgusts me. But anyway, go on. I agree with Pryor. I think he's going to be a good addition. Obviously, he got a chance to play some varsity last year. They're going to be counting on him pretty heavily this year. And we saw them in the spring. We saw them in June at Charlie Hughes. Their point guard, I believe, is Hunter Meredith. He was not there. Or somebody wasn't there. That they felt was a pretty key piece. But yeah, it's suspect. I've got him fourth though, but
I don't have him on my list in my top 10.
It's because I am the leader of the Trent Sisley.
Dang, took my crown.
You don't know where I have him yet.
Well, that's true. Where do you have him?
Fifth.
Oh, well, it's like, so I have the highest, I have them the highest level of our group. Send all your hate mail to Dominique Neely underscore CS or no, Dominique underscore CSI.
Yep. I want all the smoke. I do.
Santa Claus, Indiana.
Right, hey, I seen them play at D1 camp, and I was just maybe they're missing some guys, but Sisley was obviously really good. And it's just kind of those thing that I talk about with Jeffersonville, Orleans. It's kind of like every year. It's like, oh yeah, they got Sisley, and I just need to see it. I just want to see it. If they step up and you know have a really good year, then I'm fine with being wrong. But I just haven't seen it yet. So
Orleans and Jeffersonville, send all of your hate mail to.
Yep.
You.
I gotta see it.
That's a little Southern hate.
There's your hater.
A little Southern hate.
I do think it's a little distressing that they got beat in the sectional last year. I mean, I guess the loss to Washington. I mean, what was Washington last year, Patrick?
I mean, they were solid. Let me look them up real quick.
I mean, they were 12-12 last year.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. I mean,
they
say
shouldn't
so.
Have lost to them, but
correct. They lost 20. Well, no, they 55 to 48. And you could say that maybe the way North Davies play with all the experience group they had, that maybe Heritage Hills, he wouldn't be the first stud to not get out of, I'm checking real quick, to not get out of a sectional until his senior year, although he did get out his freshman year. So that kind of makes that point moot. Like Luke Zeller didn't get out of a sectional until his senior year. You know, that was still class basketball. So it wasn't like it was, you know, it was pure 3A sectional. So maybe a little tougher than what they normally would have had it in the one class days. But you know, it's the last 2 years have been kind of disappointing for Heritage Hills. And it is the other people, but those other guys have also gotten more experience with him. And I kind of look for them to get over the hump this year. But they've bumped up their schedule a little bit. That game with Garen Catholic at Southport is going to be a good tell for them.
I'll be at that one, so
yep.
Maybe I'll change my mind after that.
Too late. This will already be published.
And I'll bring my security team.
It will no longer be a preview.
I will not be there, so jealous.
Whoa, where will you be?
Kyler will be in Atlanta watching Indiana and Auburn.
At Auburn, okay. All right. So Kyler, that was your seventh team?
Yes.
Patrick, who do you have at seven?
I'm going to Evansville Bossy at seven.
Oh.
The Bossy Bulldogs. All right, they're a little small, but man, they return just about everyone except for their center. We all know about the Howell kid, which is, I believe, mm-hmm. Makai Lowry's brother.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
They had a 6'6" junior. I mean, they're going to have to count on him to play inside, but I mean, they've got an array of guards, and Coach Burkhardt always has those guys ready to roll, man. They're always running and gunning and playing fast. They're going to be tough for teams down that way to play against. And I like their potential. I like Bossy. Always good.
It's a style that other teams have a hard time duplicating when it comes time to preparing for them in practice. Mm-hmm. But it's you know, there used to be a time where you could count on Shane getting through the section no matter how rough their record was, because they play a good schedule. He will play anybody.
Yeah.
But last year they got beat in the first round by Mater Dei. That, you know, definitely was probably an upset. Definitely an upset. And the year before, they got all the way to the regional final the year before. So it's kind of hit and miss with
look
them
at their schedule this year. I mean, they got Cathedral, they at Washington, a tough team from Kentucky, Portage in a tournament, Castle, Harrison, Wrights. I mean, they're preparing for the tournament.
They're going to be at Fisher. Oh, nice. They're coming up to my neck of the woods.
Oh, is that the game against Portage? They also play at Brownstown. They play Cathedral.
At Brownstown?
Brownsburg, I'm sorry.
Yep. Two very different places.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dominic, who was my seventh, was Danville. Dominic, who was your seventh?
Mine was Northwood. We talked about them.
Okay, we talked about them. Pat or Kyler, who was sixth for you?
We got Brebeuf, Jesuit.
The who?
That's what?
Jesuit.
Whatever.
That's a whole religion there, boy. You better get that one right.
Southern Indiana for you.
This won't be a school. This will be a whole religion.
Southern
Indiana.
I don't think you
don't want this smoke, man. I don't.
Send all your hate mail.
You're basically defaming an entire wing of the Catholic religion. Go on.
Anyway, sticking with their high school basketball team. Obviously, the dude there is Evan Haywood. He blew up over the summer. Butler commit and everything. He brings back 14 points. I think that's what I saw.
Hayward?
Last year?
Yeah.
So, I think those numbers will go up. And I think he's got a really good running mate with Reese Butcher. Really like him. Really like that duo and everything. So, but it, obviously it comes down to that tough sectional 27. So, it's kind of a toss-up between three teams, I think. So, see how far they can get out of that. But if they can get through there and everything, I think they can make a deep run and possibly get to state.
We'll talk a little more when we get to them on my list. Got some more names. Well, I've got them a little higher than you.
Same. I do too.
Yeah, I think everybody does. Come on.
Sorry.
Rebuff Jesuit. All right. That's going down. That's Patrick, who'd you have sixth?
Well, I think I'm going to go back up to Dominique's neck of the woods here. I'm going to say Fort Wayne Concordia.
Oh.
All right. So I like the Hayworth kid. I know I'm aware that Washington, what's his name? Johnny?
Johnny.
Johnny, yeah.
He transferred to New Haven. But I think up around that area in the 3A, I think they should be okay. I like some of their pieces. Maybe Dominique can speak on them more, but they got some other returning parts to go with Hayworth.
They actually,
you want to expand on that?
Yeah, they lost their third best player as well, actually. Kalen Williams-Thomas, he's starting at Wayne now. He's their other. He's their third guard at Wayne.
Well, Hayworth is going to have to be really good then.
Yeah. Yep.
That was probably my reaction was, oh.
Yeah, so they lost, with their guys coming back, those would be their top three guys. But, yeah, two of them are gone.
We need to add we need to add Patrick to our Slack so that way he gets all the inner workings right. of up north.
Right, but yeah, they were definitely they're not on my list, but
yeah, in fairness to Patrick, we've talked a lot heading into the spring about how we thought Lutheran would be really good this year. And then piece by piece, and I know it's just the two big names there that Dominique mentioned, but piece by piece they sort of lost their guys, and it's too bad they both those kids left, because they would be nice compliments. I mean, Johnny would be obviously Washington's very potent, and the Thomas kid is going to really help Fort Wayne.
Yep.
But and we've talked a little bit about Cole. Whenever I'm in the gym, Cole doesn't play well, so probably he would never should I should never go to his games. Coach is AAU coach Adams has threatened me if I ever go watch him play again that he'll hunt me down. But he seems to do really well when I'm not in the gym, which is the rest of his game. So that's good. But yeah, they lost a couple pieces, and I don't think you're getting a whole lot of Fort Wayne news in Madison.
Not too much. It's limited down here.
No. But you'd have been spot on if, or at least in the ballpark, if those two guys would have hung around.
Well, look, I'm looking at their sectional here. They've got Angola, they've got Dwanger, they've got Garrett, Woodland, and Heritage. Leo could give them some problems, but I mean, I would say between Leo and Concordia getting out of that sectional.
Yeah. Watch out for Woodland.
Yeah, Woodland's well. Good.
And Dwanger is just always good. Dwanger is just like, it doesn't matter what their record is. They somehow go to regional or semi-state every year.
Because they defend. They defend yeah. at every turn. They could be awful, and they'll be the best defensive team. They'll be one of the best defensive teams in the state. And they play a style that frustrates those other teams.
Yep.
You know, and if they don't turn the ball over, the way they defend, I don't care how good you are up there, you're going to have a hard time beating Coach Kostoff's team. So – the Woodland of my younger days would be like 1-2 win teams. They've done a much better job here the last decade. Let's just say that. My sixth is Delta. They are what, semi-state last year?
Yeah, I believe so.
This is where a little extra show prep would have been beautiful. They got beat by Northwood. Northwood in the semi-state.
Was it the final? Yeah.
It was the semi-state final. I mean, they beat, I don't know. We had issues last year trying to figure out who was going to be good up north, other than Northwood in 3A. And we really have not had a whole lot of an easier time trying to figure out who's going to be good up north anyway this year. Delta's my top ranked north team.
Same. You know,
my final five are going to be all south, at least, you know, relative to IHSA boundaries. But Demari Hood is the big name here. And, you know, one piece they didn't have last year that they will have this year was, you know, they didn't have Jackson Wars last year. And that's a huge piece. So they got to the semi-state with probably without their second best player. I've not seen enough of Jaden Forney to know how he compares to Jackson. But Coach Detweiler is pretty hyped on Wars' health. And, you know, they'll have another little guard, Johnny Maynor. You know, sixth might be too low. But it is what it is. The rest of these guys are every bit as tested. And other than I've Heritage Hills fourth, the rest of the teams I've got to just have a lot of pieces, just like Delta. So from here on up, we're kind of splitting hairs on who might be where, at least in my mind.
Did Morris get injured in the tournament or something?
He
played 27 games.
Oh, did he play? Did he play all the last season and then not? Okay.
Well, it says there's other guys played 29 games. He played 27, so I don't know if he missed the last that two or.
I thought he was out longer than that, but I'm clearly wrong. But I know that was a big selling. I mean, that was a big point the other day. I had a conversation with Coach Detweiler and. Because Hood got hurt during football, that was what started the conversation. He's now back and healthy.
Oh, this year you're saying he got hurt in football?
Okay. He got hurt in football, yeah. Okay. And I thought, oh, that sucks. Because now he'll be out for basketball, but it wasn't that serious. The way it was told to me was that he was like, it's going to be serious. And it just was like a turf toe situation. A sprained toe. Kyler, did we get your sixth? We got your sixth.
Yep.
Dominique's sixth.
My sixth was Bossy.
Okay.
I had Bossy up there with Teray Howell and Patrick is Glover and Wagner. They're still around.
Still there, as far as I know.
Chris Glover, Elijah Wagner. Those are two other names that I had really good years for them last year. And yeah, like we talked about, I think they just present a problem, their style of play for that, you know, part of the state when it comes to playing them in the tournament and things like that. So I really like Howell's game. He can fill it up in a hurry. So yeah, I got Bossy six.
So I'm low on Bossy, but it's basically what we're saying.
I believe Howell has a Marion offer and another school. I can't remember at this moment, but he's got a couple offers.
Let's check it out real quick.
Yeah, I think I saw him get something recently.
It's like an Ohio Northwest or Wesleyan or something like that.
He has Purdue Northwest and Marion.
Okay.
It's a Division II school and one, you know, then a Crossroads League NAIA. Kyler, who was your fifth?
I got Tippy Valley. Yep.
Pretty
high on them. I've always really liked Riley Shepard. I know, you know, from talking to different people, he's always kind of up and down, but he's always been really up every time I've watched him. So I really like his game, especially at the wing. And then Stephen, is it Akaze? Is that how you say
Akaze?
His last?
Akaze. That one we do know. Akaze, yes.
Yes. So we got him back, and he's a big that's, you know, trending up, it seems like. So Really like them. And then you throw in like Kyler Johnson and DeAndre Hamilton, those guys. So just an overall bigger team. I think they take advantage of a weak sectional 18. And, I think they could do some damage.
Tade Kaiser, part of that mix too, I think. Let's see.
Between the four of us, I think we got most all the 3A teams covered.
Think so. I was checking their sectional real quick to make sure they weren't in the Peru sectional. They're not. But they're in John Glenn and Culver Academy. I like how you, this was like last year when you said that Oak Hill was going to dominate sectional 40.
I said it for a reason.
And we're like, oh yeah, don't forget about Norwell, by the way. So now you've declared Tippecanoe Valley pretty easy winner of
They're my team this year for
John against John Glenn and Culver Academy. Coach Galloway, again, it's Kyler Staley. He'll be interviewing Trey. And you can see him at all the IU games this year that you get a chance to go to.
I will not tell you where I sit. Come find me.
He will be in the media section, probably in the end zone, one of the baseline areas. Is that where the media still sits?
It switches, it bounces around, it just depends game to game.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick, who's your fifth?
Fifth, Heritage Hills.
Anybody else have Tippecanoe Valley in their top 10?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm not saying to rub anything in. I'm the only one that didn't have Bossy in my top 10. So, Coach Burkhart, send me your hate mail or just text me.
I didn't have Bossy in my top 10,
You
so
didn't?
nope.
Oh, thank God. All right, Patrick, go. I'm sorry.
Well, like we said, man, the potential's there. You got the best player on the floor most every
Oh,
night
Heritage Hills. Yeah.
in Heritage Hills. I think these next 2 years are going to be nice for them. They've got a lot of underclassmen. They've got Hope, 6'2 junior. They've got Peyton Gray, a 6'2 sophomore. Jake Pryor, a 6'4 sophomore. They got the freshman coming in who might steal some minutes. Tate Wetzel, I believe, is his name. And I know they haven't done it yet, but if the potential is there, they can make a real run in 3A. They could easily get through there to a semi-state if they can get by Princeton in that sectional. I like what they got. I'd like to see a Heritage Hill Scottsburg matchup in the semi-state.
Hope the is Colton the shortest hope in Southwest Indiana.
I'm sure.
It seems like
Maybe
the
he's
rest of,
adopted.
yeah, between between all the Forest Park hopes, he's those all those dudes are like 6'7" and taller.
I think you mean Bar Reeve.
Do what? No. There was.
I know. There was hopes
Okay.
before.
Yeah,
I know.
multiples. Yeah, multiples. Some of them were state champs.
Yeah. Shout out to the hopes.
My fifth is Evansville Memorial. Long live Tucker Tornata, Luke Elsperman. Tucker is probably one of the best big men in the state of Indiana. He is. I don't say that lightly. I think he's a little bit under-recruited right now, but a highly skilled kid who is pretty. I mean, I think he's one of the better passers in the class, but definitely a kid that's physical. Held his own a couple times playing Flory Badunga in the summer. One at just like in a regular AAU game, the other at a camp. Luke Elsperman is a crafty little guard for them. They just finished a really good football season, so Elsperman is getting back on the basketball court. They will get bigger impact, or they'll get bigger production this year from guards Asher Evans and Dylan Kendrick. Both had a taste of varsity last year, but they'll be they'll definitely be kids that aid Tucker. They'll have some other kids too that have a chance to step up, but those four guys will be their main guys. They did lose Luke Lawrence, who transferred to Evansville Rights. But I think that's gonna probably helped them defensively. He didn't start for them last year, but definitely one of their best shooters. So they'll have to replace that threat from a shooting standpoint. But the other aspects of the game, I think they'll be able to figure it out. And you know, I think they have the other pieces like that even Heritage Hills doesn't. Well, although I do have Heritage Hills one spot ahead of them. So, Dominique, who was your fifth?
That's where I had Delta.
Okay. Anything to add there?
No, I think you hit on other guys. I did see Damari Hood play this summer, and I really, really liked his game. He was athletic. It looks like he could shoot it as well from the perimeter. But yeah, I think they'll have a nice year. I looked at their sectional. I think Yorktown will probably be their. Unless I don't know, has Hamilton Heights got anything coming back? Or at all?
Yeah. No, they
right.
Delta's the team.
Delta's the team. I've got Yorktown in my honorable mention. So toward
I do too.
Yeah, toward that end, they're probably going to be the second the threat to Delta. But
Centerville. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
No, there's too many dads involved. Send all your hate mail to me. I have history of Centerville, so I can take shots. But Yorktown's probably the biggest piece there as far as challenging Delta,
right?
On paper at least. I think with Hamilton Heights, look, Ballinger always does a great job with his guys, and seems like his, even if they struggle, they've always got a little bit of toughness to him. I don't know. They don't seem to have that 6'4", 6'5", athlete that they've been able to seemingly produce to various degrees, to various levels, even dating back to Austin Etherington, who was, of course, you know, a kid that committed to Indiana and then played at Butler. But, yeah, I mean, Tillman Etchison, they've got some nice pieces, but they're a little undersized. And they do have one big kid, but I'm not sure – what he does. I'm not sure. He's just a sophomore. I'm not sure how much he's going to help. So
I had to close out on Austin Etherington at the top 100 camp back in my day, and that did not go well for me. They need to get rid of those drills, all those drills they do before the games.
The only one the college coaches care about is the transition drill. That's it. Other than following whatever kid they're there to recruit around, the one that gets like the general audience is just the transition drill. But all right, top four, Kyler, who you got fourth?
That's where I had Delta.
Okay.
But then again, we've touched on them, so nothing more else to say on that one.
Patrick, who was your fourth?
Delta.
Wow. Okay. So I'm low on Delta. Mine was Heritage Hills. Dominique, who was your fourth?
Evansville Memorial.
Okay.
I like Tornada's ability to finish with both hands, right, in the paint?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's very
– right and left.
He's crafty. I don't know what – I do think there's some questions from a college perspective where he guards. A little undersized for center. Does he move well enough to guard fours? I think those are legit questions, but offensively he's pretty complete. And he will try to thread a needle every now and then that doesn't need to be threaded when the easier, you know, just sometimes make the easier pass. But you can legitimately run your offense, your whole offense through him, as good of a passer as he is. And they play Heritage Hills, who I have fourth. He will be able to take Sisley away from the basket and force him to guard, you know, all over the floor, which I think, you know, provides some space that, you know, those other guards can certainly take advantage of.
I don't think that game was close last year. Sorry.
Do what?
I don't think that game was very close last year.
I don't even know who won.
Memorial. I actually just watched that, replayed that back. while I was looking at 3A teams, and I don't, they got up to 20 something and I stopped watching, so I don't know. Yeah,
yeah
it's 22.
They beat Heritage Hills, yeah, 73-51 last year, yeah.
Early in the year.
I mean, look, Memorial's got to prove a lot of things, you know, a lot of things. They got to prove that how tough they are. You know, they got beat against Evansville Mater Dei, who then turned around and then beat Bossy. So I think them beating Bossy maybe helped a little bit from an outsider perspective. I know they didn't feel good about it, but they got a couple of odd losses on their schedule last year. And I do think the addition of Dylan Kendrick, who is extremely good passer, extremely good defender, I think that's going to help them. The Asher kid can really shoot it. And Elsperman's pretty versatile. He can play on the ball, off the ball. Last year, he was one of their primary ball handlers. I don't know if he'll be one of their – he'll certainly handle the ball, but he won't be their main ball handler. I think Kendrick will assume that role. But so they do have some toughness issues that they're going to have to figure out. But you know, that's, you know, these kids are a year older now, so we'll see how that goes.
When I saw them this summer up at Carmel, they looked pretty good to me. They
did they?
I watched them play East Chicago, and they looked tough to me.
I did see that game. That was the auxiliary gym. Yes.
Yeah.
And every bit as impressed with Dominique Murphy as I was with the way Memorial killed. And Elsperman cut them to death. He was outstanding that game. You're right. All right, Kyler, who's number three?
That's where I got Evansville Memorial.
Damn, I had him low. I thought I was coming in high with him. That's right. You got Brebeuf Jesuit six, so we still have some time. Kyler or Patrick, who'd you have three?
All right, I'm going with the Scottsburg Warriors down
here.
Same here. Three.
Same here.
Man, Jack Miller, Cody Clancy, Wyatt Zellers. That's as good as a three-headed monster you're going to see in 3A. Those are three really nice pieces. To me, Jack is extremely underrated and under-recruited. I don't know if it's just because everybody assumes he's going to Hanover. But I really like his game. When he can defend, he's about 6'5". He can guard the other team's best player, shut them down, and still get his 16 or 17. And a lot of times he defers. But when he needs to, I mean, he's the guy that gets the ball when they want points, when they need something.
I think at that level, it's the shooting has been a concern.
He's a good athlete, too.
He is, and he slashes extremely well. He can finish. He's got a little of Ginobili in him in terms of the different ways he can finish, in terms of twerking his body and understanding angles and having a good touch around the basket. But I do think there's some shooting issues there. He very versatile defensively, and the way Zeller shoots it at 6'9",
yeah.
Outstanding compliments for each other at the high school level, because you've got to put a big, you know, this would be the same type of situation. Scottsburg playing Memorial, Scottsburg playing Heritage Hills. Zellers will take the other team's big away from the basket. I mean, I know the other team could play a zone and camp out, and that's fine. But I'm talking about a man-to-man situation. Zellers is going to force you to guard him all over the floor, and that creates space for Miller. You know,
and Clancy's a nice shooter, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had Coach Richardson on in the summer with our coaches' pods, and he was reluctantly optimistic about what Caden will do for them, his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he'll have to have a little bit of a bigger role, but that he's still more of a glue guy. But, you know, it's – look.
And they've they've got five solid kids. Now,
and he was
I don't
worried
know
about
what happens after that.
That's exactly what he said. He was worried about what happens. They're not as deep this year as they were last year. But those other guys will be more potent. I've got him third as well.
They lost a 6'5", 6'6 kid who was pretty solid. They lost another guard that could really shoot. I mean, they're going to miss those guys for a little bit, but if they can find any sort of bench, They're going to be really good.
I think his son is kind of a glue guy, right?
He is, yeah.
Caden.
Yeah, I mean, he can get hot from three. He can knock it down if he's open. So maybe they want to add a little bit more to his game this year, but
he's well, I think three too.
I think two. Yeah, that's where we're going. So I think he was look on the podcast he was on. He was obviously. I mean, even Coach Bitter undersells his own son a little bit. You know, he's got to work on this. You know, there's times where we go home where, you know, he has his mother had to come take him to practice, you know, pick him up from practice. I mean, you know, typical humble coaches, you know, coach talking about his kid. But at the end of the day, he's still going to be a good piece to that puzzle. And if he's hitting outside shots with the other group kids that they've got, that's going to be it's going to be a big asset for them. And he was worried about their depth, but I don't know.
I think last year they were a little ahead of schedule making that last game of the semi-state. I think that was a really nice surprise. And I think they've been building towards this year specifically. So they're expecting big things.
Well, let's be blunt. They were expecting to have Chase Coomer and Colby Hall with this group as well. So,
yeah, that ship has sailed.
It has, and it's. I'm glad that both groups have been able to. You know, I'm glad Scottsburg's been successful. Now, obviously, Miller wasn't part of that group when he was a freshman, so that was a nice addition for them. But yeah, without question, they've been aiming for these 2 years. You know, last year, this year, last year. Or, well, this year, next year. I'm sorry, this year, next year. But they are, you know, it's going to be putting a lot of eggs in their basket this year for sure, because they got a lot of seniors they're going to rely on. All right, Kyler, who was your – because Dominique had Scottsburg third, correct?
Yep, I did.
Okay. Kyler, who'd you have second?
That's where I had Scottsburg.
Okay. Patrick, who was your second?
Yep. Brebeuf, Jesuit.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
Well, have we talked about them yet? I mean, they've got Cam Haywood, Butler commit, and everything I've heard about him is as good as he's supposed to be. He's even more underrated.
Evan. Cam is
– Yeah.
Okay,
Cam is Coach Hayward's kid at Southridge.
Okay, so
right,
yes, but like I said, everybody I've talked to said how underrated he is, and he's a really good get for Butler. I mean, he's obviously probably in line for an Indiana All-Star spot.
Oh, I think that's a given.
Yeah, and I think they have some pieces around him to go with him that are really good coming back. Them and Garen for that number one spot up there is going to be a really tough battle.
So I've got Garen number two.
Yep.
I mean, they return their three main guys, Jack or Robert Sorensen, Dylan Moranz, Jack Cherry. They'll get good production or good role player from Ryan Zimmerman. They saw by midseason Bryson Cardinal, Brian Cardinal's son, was a definite solid piece for them. He's going to be even better this year. He's very much like his dad in that he's willing to give up his body. He's not as potent as his dad was. I didn't see his dad in high school. I'm sure he produced extremely well, good enough to play at Purdue or good enough to be recruited by Purdue. Bryson's not that, but he doesn't have to be to contribute to this team. And he's a very physical kid. He's a good defender. I think he can guard away from the basket, but they've got other pieces to do that, and he's a very effective rim protector. He's basically similar defensively to Jake Davis, basically. Every time you turn around, he's somebody's on the ground. It's either him or the guy he's guarding or interceding with. It will be interesting to see if they get any help at all from two freshmen, Carter Moranz, Dylan's little brother, Jake Grissom. Both should be definite JV kids. JV starters who might be able to provide some varsity depth for them. But those are the main cogs. And look, they were what last year? What was that? What was the final score of that state championship game?
Overtime.
I mean, it's an overtime game against Northwood. So they're 3 points away from a state championship and return pretty much everyone. So, you know, they're in the same same sectional as Brebeuf. I've got Brebeuf number one. Dominique, is that your top two in either order? Who do you have where?
Two, I have Brebeuf, Jesuit. I seen them play this June at Charlie Hughes, and yeah, Haywood had like 29 that game, just hitting shots from everywhere. And Reese Butcher was really good that game as well. They play a heck of a schedule every year. I think, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but coach usually has them sitting in a stance, right? Defending at a high level.
I mean, Brebeuf is going to be good defensively no matter what. Yeah. Allen's done a good job keeping that status going that Coach Howard set up. I mean, they're not afraid to play games in the 30s and 40s.
Right.
You know, and they've got weapons to play at a faster pace. The game I saw Hayward play against Roncalli, he and Drew Kagaris went off on each other. I'm surprised that he only averaged 14 points a game. Because the two times I saw him play, was both in the 20s. And the Roncalli game, he was the high 20s. Also, Quinn Warren for them is going to be a big piece. They'll be expecting a lot from him. Owen Pringler should be a kid that gets some clock. They've got, you know, Jacob Strickland is another kid that I don't know what his role will be, but you know, these are guys that have moved up the ranks a little bit, and they've got a they've got an outstanding freshman class.
Yeah, Jim, how much has Ben Lai, their freshman, going to get to play?
Well, three of these kids are Carmel kids, so Ben Lai will. I think he'll get most of his minutes on JV. Mm-hmm. What I like about him is that he's willing to go down and battle in the post. Now, he's not going to be strong enough a lot of nights to get much done. But with his length at the 3A level, I think he can be disruptive. I think he can provide a little bit of a hindrance. I'm starting to say disruptive. It's probably too soon for that. But Chase Edmondson is a freshman, another kid that might be able to give them some minutes. And look, if it's just depth, and that's going to be – it's tough getting depth at the high school level. And, you know, they might be able to provide a little bit of different Chase in terms of his shooting. He's got a twin brother, Cooper. I think Chase is a little bit ahead of him. But Ben is a kid that I think could very well – provide a little bit of extra minutes. They also have another kid who's really good defensively, Juwan Brooks. He's a physical kid. It's, you know, his scoring is kind of hit and miss, but again, he's a kid that will guard the other team's best player and not have to worry about picking up fouls for Haywood or Butcher, both of whom are good defenders. But, you know, again, you don't want either one of those guys getting fouls. So I got Brebeuf number one, Garen Catholic number two. Kyler, who'd you have one?
Garen Catholic.
I mean, we're all basically got Garen Catholic in our top two, correct, Dominique?
Yep. Yeah, we got them one.
And Patrick, same.
Yeah, I think everybody's Garen Catholic and Brebeuf. One, two.
Okay. Cool. Honorable mention teams. Kyler, who were some teams that you had that you didn't quite get in your top 10?
Yeah, I had four. I had Greensburg. Then I had South Bend, Washington, you know, obviously. I almost put them in my top 10, but I was kind of with you, kind of young. So, obviously, the name there is Stephen Reynolds. And then I had Bozzi, and then I had Bishop Knoll.
Okay. Patrick.
Yep, I had Evansville Memorial. I had South Bend, Washington, and I had Lawrenceburg.
Yeah, I've got Lawrenceburg. My honorable mention, Meconaqua, Lawrenceburg, Tippecanoe Valley, Tri-West, Yorktown, West Vigo, Mishawaka, Marion, Greensburg, South Bend, St. Joe, Evansville, Bossy. No particular order on any of those names. Dominique, who was your honorable mention list?
I had Batesville. I
Oh.
had Heritage Hills, Leo, Yorktown, South Bend, Washington.
That's right. No Heritage Hills in your top 10.
Nope.
Oof.
And where did Kyler have them?
Seven.
That's right. Man.
Patrick, you didn't have Memorial, right?
He didn't
No,
have
they were in
Memorial,
my
no.
no, they were in my watch.
All right, Kyler, we didn't do this in 1A and 2A. I wish we would have thought of it when we recorded it, but top player or two, not in your top 10, even if we've already, I know you've already mentioned one of them, but top player or two, not in your top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say it again, Steven Reynolds.
Yeah.
It doesn't get bigger. It doesn't get much bigger than that as a top player left out. But I just, it's just kind of one of those things where I just don't know what they have around them. They seem pretty young, like we already said. So just I just don't know about them right now.
Patrick, top player or two, not in your top 10.
I'll have to go with Tyler Rash and Tucker Tornada.
Oh, you didn't have Northwood in your
No, I did not.
man, the defending champs, no respect.
No, I gotta see how much the younger Rash boy can carry this year.
That's fair. My top, I'll go with two guys that were not in my top 10. Terry Howell, we've talked a little bit about him. Electrically quick guard. He was a good shooter, a willing passer. And then Josiah Ball from Meconaqua, 6'6". I would say he's pretty solidly a forward. I think he's probably developed to the point where if he can prove he can play the wing. Did I say he was from Meconaqua? 6'6"
Yeah.
forward from Meconaqua. From day one, his motor has been his biggest selling point. He's definitely improved his perimeter skill. He's definitely improved his ball handling, his shooting. I think the more he can show that he can guard the perimeter, the quicker wings, I think that will impact that. That's going to impact his recruiting. I don't even need to hedge on that. That will impact his recruiting. He could also be at the NAIA level. He would could be right away a combo forward, a 3-4. I thought when he was younger, he was more of a skilled four who just played, had a big motor, and then his outside shots improved. So him and Howell, the two names that were not in my top 10 that, probably could easily propel them. Could easily propel them, come tournament time, especially Dominique.
Yeah, we've mentioned Steven Reynolds, obviously. Obviously, Trent Sisley would be the top guy for me, but I'll mention Jackson McGee from Leo. Talked about him before, but I think he'll have a really nice year. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of backcourt guys who can score it for Leo that we just talked about earlier. I'm going to see them Thursday, but I think McGee should be the top guy there. Obviously, leading score coming back, he can get him up in a hurry, and he's pretty efficient. So I'll go with Jackson McGee.
Well, that about does it for the 3A preview. Anything else to add, guys?
Nope. I
Nope.
think
That's
we've
it.
covered a lot.
I think the 4A one's going to be interesting just because once you get past five or six, it gets doesn't get thinned out, but it definitely gets to the point where you really can't tell much difference between the teams. So, but anyway, thanks for you guys. Thanks for your guys' time. Everybody appreciate you listening. Hopefully you'll check into the 1A, 2A, and 4A podcasts as well. The 1A and 2A are already published. 4A, depending on when you listen to this, will either be published tomorrow or will have already been published. But regardless, thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to you guys coming up this season.